The replacement Yankees continue to power on, this time sweeping the Philadelphia Phillies in a big two-game set in the Bronx. We're going to recap those two games and look ahead to another crucial series with the rival Boston Red Sox. All this and more on a brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. There's a lot of good things going on in Yankee land. I feel like we waited for so long to have some positive news and see this team start to click. And it's crazy enough that it happened with a good portion of the regulars missing time. You know, you got to be impressed with what this team has been able to do. They are now 7-3 in their last 10 games, have won the last four series. And even though there's still seven games out in the division and only a couple of games out in the wild card, you can get a sense that this team is starting to get back on track and you're starting to see somewhat of the New York Yankees we thought we were going to see at the beginning of the year. Now, of course, good organizations figure it out. And with guys like Luke Voit, Aaron Judge, Gio Urshela missing time, the guys who have come up to replace them have gotten the job done. So kudos to the Yankees for the way they've been playing in another series that they took. This one, an interleague series with the Philadelphia Phillies. It was only a two-game set, but it was a meaningful one. Showed the Yankees are still back on track, and they're trying to build momentum as they have a huge stretch coming up where they go to Boston and then to Tampa for what could determine what the Yankees ultimately will do this year. The Yankees come out flat in those two series. You can make the case that they're essentially going to be out of it. But if they can muster up a couple of wins on this trip, they'll be right in the thick of things. So we do have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the Philly series, and we're going to look ahead to the upcoming four-game set in Fenway Park. But before we do, reminder, follow us on social media. First and foremost, we're powered by Delahanty Media. Go to our website, DelahantyMedia.com. On there, you can find all of our social media feeds as well as all of our other shows. Our special podcasts have been releasing new episodes on the regular, so make sure you check them out as well as our show. And of course, give us a follow and a like on social media, whatever platforms you use. Make sure you check us out on there. And of course, you guys are listening on the podcasting platform of your choice. If you haven't done so already, make sure you hit that subscribe, rate, and review buttons as well. Make sure you give us any feedback possible. It does go a long way in helping promote our brand and our show as a whole. So, of course, you guys don't want to hear me talk about our publicity stuff. You want to hear me talk about some Yankees baseball. So let's jump right into it. Two-game set. Yankees and Phillies. Phillies essentially a 500 team. Yankees trying to get a little bit over that 500 mark. Coming into this one, just a measly for them, four games over the mark. And game one, the Yankees turned to Domingo Germán. And I don't want to sound like I'm saying this in the past tense, but before he took the mound, I felt like it was going to be a short outing. Here's why. He was supposed to make his start in Seattle, had the whole root canal issue, whatever it happened to be. Then the Yankees were using him in relief. He kind of was not built up. So I figured that the Yankees were going to try to find a way to get as many outs as they could out of Germán, but then rely on the bullpen, especially given that they had the day off on Monday. So this one, Germán was solid through four. You know, he only threw 70 pitches, allowed two runs. He kept the Yankees in the game, which is really essentially what they needed. Hoskins got him for a home run in the second inning, and we all know how Germán has struggled with regards to the long ball. And then Aronel Torres, we all remember that guy, hit a double to left field to give the Phillies at that time a 2-1 lead. Luckily, the Yankees offense was able to muster up a couple of runs, and the majority of them came via the long ball. After Esteban Florial, you remember him, top prospect, the Yankees brought him up. He's filling a void. Yankees have had some injuries. They had Trey Ambergie go down. You remember Tim LaCastro went down, so Florio is up with that next man up mentality. He grounded out the first base scoring Greg Allen, another replacer 28 guy. And at that point, it was 1-1 in the bottom of the third. Then we mentioned the Torres double in the fourth inning, but the Yankees took over from there. Bottom half of the fifth inning, with Greg Allen on third. Tyler Wade hits a line drive to shortstop. Our old friend Didi Gregorius, it felt like there was more Yankee regulars on the field for the Phillies than there were for the Yankees. But nonetheless, Gregorius fields the ball, makes a throw over the third. It was a bad throw. Allen used his speed to score, and the Yankees were able to once again tie up the ball game. Shortly after, Brett Gardner hits a home run to the right field to give the Yankees a lead that they would not relish. Bottom half of the sixth, Gary Sanchez hit an absolute moonshot, a solo shot, and then a Giancarlo Stanton home run in the bottom half of the seventh, which was more of a laser, if not anything else, gave the Yankees a 5-2 lead. Top of the eighth, Segura singles for the Phillies, cuts it to 5-3, but then Florial gets his official welcome to the big leagues with his first home run of his career. Before we get back into the scoring of that one, it's important to note, Florial becomes the fifth Yankee to hit his first major league home run in interleague play. The others, current hitting coach Marcus Thames in 2002, which was off Randy Johnson, which is pretty impressive, Francisco Cervelli in 09, Austin Romine in 2013, and teammate Miguel Andujar, who accomplished the feat in 2018. So it was a nice way for Florial to break into the big leagues and did something that only four Yankees have ever accomplished, which is pretty cool. Yankees go on to win this one 6-4, and I'm going to take you through the ninth inning because that's an important part of this game, but we're going to go right back to that in just a minute. Couple of standout performers. We mentioned the four long balls. That really catered the Yankees' offense in this one. Stanton had two hits. Sanchez had two hits. You know, you had a couple of guys with a hit apiece. The Yankees were able to muster up 10 hits as a team. Eight of their nine starters got on base in this one, so the offense was able to do just enough, and the pitching was able to hold them off. We mentioned German. He was solid. He got an inning and a third out of Luis Sessa. He walked a couple of guys, but other than that, was solid. Lucas Lickey came in after. He pitched a shutout inning, and then Chad Green comes in. He allows a walk. With the bases loaded, though, strikes out Didi Gregorius, a huge strikeout to get out of the jam. The Yankees' pitching was not off the hook, as Zach Britton was not very sharp in this one, allowed a couple of hits and a run, but was able to work out of the jam and keep the Yankees' lead intact. Now, after a month of not picking up a save, we all know how bad a role this Chapman's been. He comes in and right away strikes out Bryce Harper. Now, at this point, the Yankees are up 6-3, and you're saying to yourself, okay, Chapman looks pretty good. Hopefully, this is a good sign of things to come. Well, Andrew McCutchen had other ideas. He blasted a home run to left field, 413 feet, cut the Yankees' lead to 6-4. However, I think that if Chapman shows some long-term success, we are going to point to this moment as the true turning point of his season. After the McCutchen home run, Chapman was filthy, struck out Hoskins, then struck out Didi to end the game. So even though he let up the home run, he was able to bounce back in a huge way. And it's a good sign of things to come for the Yankees because obviously they need their closer being at the top of his game. And even when he doesn't have his best stuff, they need him to figure it out. So great win for the Yankees. Although they were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position, they were able to do it via the long ball, and that was enough to get them over the edge of the Phillies in this one. So you take that, obviously you go into the second game of the series thinking that you already secured at least a split, and as you guys heard in our last show, I said, you know, a sweep here is more than doable in a two-game set, especially given the way the Yankees have played of late. Heading into game two, there were a couple things that you could really point out and say, you know, this is a little concerning. Number one, DJ LeMahieu missed the first game of the series. They said he had some kind of stomach bug. With the COVID situation going around, you just hope that the next day it doesn't come out that LeMahieu's on the COVID list. They don't need that. They need him healthy and active, especially the way he's been hitting of late. but the Yankees also needed a spot starter. And that went to Asher Wojciechowski. I know I probably said that wrong, so we're going to call him Woj, just like Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA reporter. He was called up to make a spot start for the big league club in a time where the Yankees were desperate for some starting pitching. And all they got out of Woj was 4 innings of work, which, to be quite honest with you, I didn't even think he was going to last that long. First pitch of the game, Gene Segura hits a home run. Literally one pitch into the game. Woj was definitely not sharp. He wasn't like tip-top sharp. He allowed 3 walks, 3 hits, the 2 earned runs. He did strike out 4, threw 83 pitches over 4 innings, but he did enough for the Yankees to then turn the game over to the bullpen, even though the bullpen was shorthanded. They did not use Sessa. They did not use Lickie again. Both guys threw close to 30 pitches the night before. So, they were trying to stay away from them. But they did have some fresh arms. And as you'll see as we break down this game a little bit, it did get a little sticky toward the end. But the Yankees were able to prevail. We mentioned the home run from Segura. Then, in the top half of the third, a Bryce Harper double extended the Phillies' lead to 2-0. The Yankees started to chip back. A Gleyber Torres homer, his 3rd home run in 4 games. To put that into perspective for you, Torres has 3 home runs in his last 4 games. He only had 3 home runs through his first 78 games of the season. Is Gleyber getting back on track? I sure hope so. The Yankees desperately need him too. But nonetheless, in this spot, it was a solo shot, 2-1 Phillies. The Yankees were not done in the 4th. Greg Allen, who's been phenomenal, doubles to center field. Yankees use their wheels. Gardner able to score from first. Ties the ball game up at 2. No scoring happened until the bottom half of the 7th inning. Yankees start to pull away a bit. An infield single, which, you know, really should have just been a single, but nonetheless, it was an infield single from Stanton. Scores Floreal. Gives the Yankees a 3-2 lead. And then a Rougie Odor home run to right field. I made another appearance on ESPN Syracuse. I was trying to tell them, look, Odor's a likable guy. Good clubhouse guy and seems to really hit in the clutch. This was a 2-run shot, gave the Yankees a 5-2 lead. After the bullpen was able to hold it down, you got an inning and 2/3 out of Abreu, an inning and 1/3 out of Wilson, arguably the best he's looked in quite some time. The Yankees go to the big gun, Zach Britton, the big money man. Once again, was not good. Only got 1 out in this one. Allowed 2 earned runs. 3 runs total. You got to remember, Gleyber had a really ugly error to start the inning. Walked 2 batters in the process. And at that point, Yankees are in a bit of trouble. So, with Britton getting into trouble in the 8th, instead of going to Chad Green, who only threw 13 pitches in game 1 and didn't pitch the day before because they had off, Aaron Boone goes to Nick Nelson. The same Nick Nelson who had a 9.45 ERA. The same Nick Nelson that has given us nothing, nothing to be confident about. Yes, that guy. He allows a hit. No runs were charged to him, but he did walk 2. He struggled 25 pitches to get just 2 outs, and the Phillies were able to tie up the ball game. And the even worse part was they didn't even score on a hit. Torres was able to score on a wild pitch. At that point, it was 5-4 Yankees, tied the game up. And then, thanks to a clean inning from Aroldis Chapman, only 12 pitches to get through that one. And unfortunately, the Yankees unable to score in the bottom half of the 9th. We go to Little League rules in the top of the 10th. In the 10th, Boone calls upon Brooks Kreisky, another guy that not many Yankee fans have a lot of faith in. But in just 10 pitches, was able to get 3 outs without allowing the Phillies to score. And in the bottom half of the 10th, the hero, Ryan Lamar, singled to deep right field, which was a pop-up into the outfield, scoring Gary Sanchez, ball game over, Yankees win, Yankees complete the sweep. Couple of notes. Number 1, Yankees still were not good with runners in scoring position. 2-for-9. However, the Phillies were absolutely worse. They were 1-for-14 in this one. Left 12 guys on base. That's the big thing. Yankees weren't necessarily better, but they did just enough to get them over the hump and defeat the Phillies in this one. Number two, you had a couple of stolen bases in this one. Three to be exact. Tyler Wade, Greg Allen, Esteban Florio. Couple of guys with speed. It really changes the dynamic of how this team is. You know, they're a whole different feel. In just a couple of weeks, they went from a team that relied heavily on the long ball to a team that could do the little things. You know, Wade possesses a lot of speed. Allen and Florio could sure run. Heck, Brett Gardner, even though he's ancient at this point in terms of baseball years, he scored from first in just 10 seconds the other day. I think it was like 10.4 seconds. So you got to give them credit. They're playing the game the right way with what they have. Obviously, this lineup doesn't feature the big boppers that we're so used to. You know, you look at the game one lineup, you had Stanton, you had Sanchez, you had Torres, but really, other than that, it was a lot of mixing and matching. A lot of guys that we did not anticipate making a difference on this team, especially all at the same time. So you got to give them credit. Regardless of who's in the lineup, they continue to come out, they continue to win games, and that's what Yankee fans are getting excited about. Finally hit the 50-win mark. Six games over 500, starting to build momentum, showing that, you know, just like a few years ago, even though some of our better players are on the mend, we are going to keep battling. And that's something that we haven't seen from this Yankees team in quite some time, and it's really refreshing to see it, given that we've waited all season for it to happen. So it's a good sign, of course, but we keep saying, worry about the series ahead of you, and this series is huge. Yankees go to Fenway for a weekend, four-game set against the Red Sox. And let me tell you, the Yankees have to avoid getting swept. They can't get swept. They can't get embarrassed in Fenway. It just simply cannot happen. They have to find a way to at least split this series. And I know that a split may not be good enough for Yankees fans, but I'm telling you, going into Fenway, aim for two, dream for three. If they can get three, it's a whole different race, and you're going to see that the trade deadline is going to get a lot more interesting. If they win two, they're still going to be right in the thick of things, and it could really determine if the Yankees decide they're going to be heavy buyers or make some minor moves to just help them get through. If by some chance, and hopefully this doesn't happen because I really don't want to do a show on Monday talking about the Yankees getting embarrassed in Fenway, but if it does happen, the Yankees may ultimately either stand pat or decide to be sellers with some of their valuable assets that they can get something for in return. So this is a big weekend series. This series and the Tampa series are major series in their season. And the way the Yankees are playing, you got to have some confidence that, you know, it's not the regular lineup, but they can find a way to get it done. Game one, Thursday night, Jordan Montgomery, Tanner Houck. I hope Montgomery gets some kind of run support. That dude's been begging for runs, hasn't gotten a run in five straight starts. Yankees offense has to get off to a hot start right away out of the gate. Friday night, under the lights, Gerrit Cole, Eduardo Rodriguez. That's a must-win for the Yankees. The way Cole's pitching, he's well-rested, ready to rock and roll. Get him the ball, let him do his thing. Saturday will be a 4 o'clock start, an afternoon game. So while you're enjoying the nice weather, take some time to watch the Yankees. They'll be on Fox Sports. Jameson Taillon, who's been a lot better of late, against Nathan Eovaldi. And, of course, Sunday afternoon will be the final game of the series, Domingo Germán against Martin Perez. And that will lead the Yankees into another off day as they travel to Tampa for yet, like I said, another big series. Am I getting my hopes up? Yes, I am. Because for the first time all year, the last couple of games, I have been really excited to watch this team. Yes, of course, I love the likes of Judge and Urshela, and I love when the Yankees are healthy. But I do like this new energy that these other guys are bringing into the mix. I think it's refreshing. I think it's a great thing moving forward. And I hope that these guys can bring some more energy as some of the regulars start to fill back in. And hopefully the regulars can pick up the slack from there. Before we wrap up today's show, big news. Giancarlo Stanton expected to play the outfield this weekend. Wow. Finally, we're getting Giancarlo to play the field. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt and they realize, you know, we're babying this guy. He's an athletic freak. We're going to put him out in the field more often and let him get some reps out there. Open up the DH spot. Give some guys a half a day off or whatnot. But the Yankees need Stanton to play a little outfield, especially given their issues with outfielders so far this year. You know, you just had Ambergie up. LeCastro was up. They're both hurt. And who knows when the next injury is going to hit. So that's a good development out of Yankee camp. But of course, as more developments like that come along, make sure you tune in because we'll be sure to talk about it on our podcast. Once again, this is the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. If you haven't done so yet, find us on social media, subscribe, rate and review on whatever podcasting platform you so choose to listen to our show. And of course, get those pinstripes ready, get your Yankee gear on because, heck, this is a very big weekend for the Bronx Bombers. And of course, come Monday, win, lose, or draw, we'll be here to talk all about it. Until then, this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. As always, let's go Yankees. We'll talk to you really soon.